Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
Through the years, different people have left us collections of angels. Carolyn McCune had a large collection of angels, and Rosemary Decker's mom, Ruth Anita Redman, had a massive collection. And when they passed away, they left them to the church, and we display them in a cabinet out there. Not all that we have, but we kind of rotate them out. But since I'm talking about angels today, I thought I'd show you some. I just pulled these out. This one's got a kind of a songbook singing. This one's made of glass, and it looks like it has the wheat bringing like a sign of peace or offering. And then another one here with a halo. Now, my wife would tell you that I could just bring a picture of myself, and you'd see another angel. Yeah, and it's good to laugh. Yeah. By the way, does anybody else collect angels? I have a couple of people in the first service. Yeah, and do you know why you do? Anybody know why you collect angels? Have a thought? Something about angels, it reminds us of a connection to heaven. It reminds us of spiritual realities that maybe are just beyond our sight. Angels remind us of the mystery of life and possibly of Christmas. With the rush and all the activity of this season, we can dread celebrating Christmas instead of actually enjoying it. The pressure to be social, to attend more office and family gatherings, to buy presents, to appear happy when maybe we're not. The holidays can be challenging. Sometimes over Thanksgiving and Christmas, families get together. Some of our families are broken. Certain people are not there because they don't want to be there. We're not talking. And some people are not at our family gatherings because they died. A loved one, family member who passed away this last year. I spoke with someone this week, and she said, "This is going to be a tough Christmas because my husband passed away," and said it was about this time last year. It was December of last year. And so she said, "It's just going to be difficult as I go through the season." And I told her, I said, don't stay away. Don't hide away. I said, come out and be part of a fellowship of people, many of whom have lost loved ones. They know how you're feeling, and they'll be there. They'll be there for you. And I think angels are with people that are broken and hurting. There's a carol called "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." It has this line: "O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow." I don't know why, but I get an image of shoppers on Black Friday here for the painful steps and slow. Wait, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. The angels are coming. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. If I could have you take away anything from this morning, oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. There's so much going on. There's so much that can overwhelm us at this time of the year. Maybe we just need to pull back, to rest, and to just take a breath. Christmas means to be open to a mysterious God who does amazing miracles. And some people say they've never really, you can take that down. Some people say they've never experienced a miracle, but miracles are all around us as close as our next breath. I read this week about breathing. You will have inhaled and exhaled approximately 250 times by the time we're done today with this message and communion. Consider the journey of an oxygen atom. The journey begins when air passes through your nose, where unwanted dust and debris is filtered out. The average person moves about 440 cubic feet of air per day through the nose and trachea into the lungs. The surface area of your lungs is 40 times greater than the surface area of your body. The surface area of this of those tiny lungs within your chest has 40 times the surface area of the skin on your body. Once in the lungs, the oxygen atoms hitchhike with hemoglobin and travel throughout the entire body via blood vessels. If those blood vessels were laid end to end, they would be approximately 100,000 miles long. The blood vessels in your body could wrap around the earth four times. At the end of its journey, the oxygen atom enters individual cells, bonds with food we eat, and releases the energy for life. Webster's defines a miracle as an extraordinary, unusual wonder or marvel. Isn't a bloodstream 100,000 miles long in a small body like ours a miracle? By the time this day is done, you will have breathed in and breathed out 23,000 times. So is that not 23,000 miracles? And we say, oh, I haven't experienced a miracle. But you have, and you do. And maybe what we need to do this Christmas is just to stop and breathe and let and rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. I think the reason why Jesus held up children as so important is that children get caught up in the wonder and the awe and the mystery of the story, whereas adults tend to want to argue and the theology. Well, that didn't happen that way, or that's not true. My wife Mona's favorite time of the week is when she teaches the cubbies on Wednesday night. Sally helps her, as does Lynn. And Mona tells them Bible stories. And she says the kids just get, their eyes get big and they quiet down and they listen to those stories like that some have never heard them before, and they get caught up in the awe and the wonder of it. And she says it's so exciting for people to hear Bible stories and be excited about them. Whereas what do we do as adults? Heard that before. What translation are you reading that in? And we want to argue theology. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the invariable mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. God didn't come at Christmas like anyone expected. He came to common people, was born in a stable, placed in a feeding trough called a manger, and the first people who heard about it were minimum wage workers in a field called shepherds. He didn't go to the priests, he went to the common people. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn King. I want us just to reflect for a brief moment about angels. We find them throughout the Christmas story, and they bring some of the mystery of this season to us. In the Old Testament, Isaiah encountered a powerful six-winged angel around God's throne. Joshua and Gideon meet angels. Jacob had a dream about angels going up and down a ladder into heaven. Three angels are named in the Bible. They are Michael, who's mentioned in Daniel and in Revelation. Gabriel came at Christmas, is mentioned in Luke. And the other angel is Lucifer, or Satan, a high angel who led a rebellion in heaven and took a third of the angels with him. And the fallen angels are now called demons. They're the demonic forces that you read about in the Bible who still are able to do bad things on earth today. So where are the angels at Christmas? An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, listen, Mary is pregnant. You weren't with her, but take her anyway because God is working. And then an angel later tells Joseph to take the baby to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. If you go to the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah in the temple, telling him that he and Elizabeth are going to have a child, even though Elizabeth is beyond the age of having a child. And then also in Luke 1, Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she's going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. And she says, "May it be to me as you have said." And then an angel appears in Luke 2 to the shepherds and tells them a Savior has been born in Bethlehem. If there's one summary statement in the Bible that I want you to see and say with me, it's Hebrews 1, 4. So put that up and we'll say this with me. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Angels are here to serve you. And by the way, the angel's number one goal is to bring you to a point of decision about God. When the angel came at Christmas, they say, good news of great joy, a Savior has been born, and you can be forgiven. And Jesus said in Luke 15, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one person repents. And so the angel's goal is ultimately to bring you and me to a point of decision about God. That's what angels want to do. And by the way, they're not seasonal. They're not confined to Christmas. They're on the job 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. They're better than Walmart. They provide more. Their online service is amazing. They're found throughout the Bible. Angels are mentioned 300 times in the Bible, in 34 of 66 books. And by the way, angels, I think, are popular. 75% of Americans believe in them, and 55% believe they have a guardian angel. Why are angels so popular? One of the articles I read is that angels give you a connection to heaven without having to deal with God. So a lot of people are into angels, but not into God. They like spiritual connection, but I don't want this thing with God telling me how to live my life. But I love the fact that there's some connection to another world. What happens if you're into angels but not into God or the Bible? The Bible says Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And so if Satan can come in a counterfeit way and present himself as a good angel, but really as a bad one, you might be into angels and spiritual type things, and you could be into the occult and not even really think about it. So you need to be aware. Angels of light should remind us of demons of darkness who promote lies and violence and death. In the brief time we had, I wanted to just give you an angel overview, so that you could have an idea in your head about this whole area. Number one, angels are a special creation. Angels are not recycled dead people, okay? My favorite movie, It's a Wonderful Life, gets it wrong. You don't live life and then become an angel in the next life. The angels were a specific created order. They've all been made that have been made, no more, no less, and you don't die and become an angel. That's why if you're talking to a family and they've lost a loved one, especially if they've lost a child, what do you hear sometimes? That you're trying to be helpful, but God just needed another angel. No, he didn't need another. He doesn't need any more. He's not making any more. You can be with the angels, you can't be them. And they are part of God's creation, so they're not to be worshipped. The end of Revelation, John bows down before an angel, and the angel says, "Get back up. Don't bow down to me. I'm not to be worshipped." He points, says, worship God. Angels lack material substance. They're invisible unless they want to make themselves visible. So different people in the Bible saw angels, but as a rule, we don't see them. They're all around us, but we don't see them. There is a passage in the Bible in Hebrews 13 that says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Years ago, I went to visit Mirador Keck when John was still alive, and I wanted to thank John for 25 years that he pastored this church, the great ministry that he had. And I said while I was there, I said, "You know, some people at Emmanuel, I suspect, might be angels." And then I asked John, I said, "John, I wonder if you might be an angel." And he didn't miss a beat. He rubbed his belly, which was coming out a little bit, and he said, "Won't work. He said, it won't work. Too much weight." He said, I'll never fly. He said, I got too much weight. The Hebrews passage guides my thinking in ministry. I assume anybody that I meet, anybody that walks through the door, anybody that I meet anywhere could be an angel, and I should treat them with kindness and respect. Be careful to entertain strangers because it may be an angel. It might be a test. You never know. Angels are strong and powerful. It was an angel that rolled away the stone from Jesus' tomb, and Michael, the archangel, took on Satan and threw him out of heaven. And Revelation says that the angels are almost innumerable. There are 10,000 times 10,000 angels that were giving praise around the throne, meaning basically I couldn't even count them all. And so they appear to be powerful. They're in the presence of God. They glow with God's glory. And so what is the first thing that angels say when they encounter people? Almost always they say these two words: fear not. Don't freak out. Don't, you know, hang with me here. I know the glory is amazing, but hang with me. They are spiritual. They obey God completely and perfectly. And whether you know it or not, we refer to angels every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Who does God's will perfectly and completely and fully in heaven? The angels do. And they're also specially assigned. The churches in Revelation and 2 and 3 have their own angel. And Jesus seems to imply that that children had a guardian angel when he said in Matthew 18, "See that you don't look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my Father." So I don't, you can argue about the whole idea. Do each of you have an angel that's assigned to you? But Jesus says, take care of the children, because their angel always beholds the face of the Father. So if I do have an angel, Mona would tell you that it needs to work harder, you know, shut my mouth, make me a more sensitive, caring person, which is never going to happen until I see Jesus. I won't be perfected. And angels shine with the glory of God. Gabriel told Zechariah, "I stand in the very presence of God." And just like Moses was with God when he got the Ten Commandments and he came down from the mountain, and what did the people say to Moses? We can't look at you. Somebody put a blanket over him. He was with the Lord for a short period of time, like a few days, and he was glowing with the glory of God. Angels behold God constantly, and so they shine with his glory. Now, what do angels do? Just very briefly, I just want you to think with me about what angels do. Number one, they praise God. In Revelation, it says over and over again, "I heard the voice of many angels encircling the throne, singing praise and saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise.'" The angels are always praising God. The one that came at Christmas says, "Glory to God in the highest. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him." Angels praise God. Did it ever occur to you that we're doing here right now what we're going to do forever with the angels? You know why worship is important? We want to do now what we're going to do forever. And by singing God's praises, we're beginning to do now what the angels do constantly before the throne right now. Angels also proclaim a message. They're God's messenger. They come with a warning. They give direction and guidance. And angels provide protection. In Exodus, it says, God said to Moses, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared for you." God sent an angel to guide his people into the promised land. And there's one other protection passage that we'll talk more about next week. But when Jesus was being arrested in the garden, Peter took out a sword to fight. And you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Put away your sword, Peter, for my Father stands ready to send more than 12 legions of angels." Peter, if I wanted to, I wouldn't have to go to this cross. God would send his angels to protect me. But from the creation of the world, I knew that my mission was to come here and to show my love by dying as a sacrifice for these people. So I'm not going to let the angels take this away. I'm not going to let the angels protect me. Peter, this is why I came. Psalm 91 says, "For God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Well, here's the question. If angels protect us, why do so many bad things happen? And next week, the sermon's going to be about the massacre of the baby boys in Bethlehem. The Christmas message you rarely hear is that Herod, because he was afraid of a rival, had sent out an announcement that all the boys under two were to be killed. If they had angels, if they had a guardian angel that was supposed to protect them, where was the angel? Why weren't they protected? And there are some things that we are never going to know this side of heaven. But I tell you, the one clear lesson from the biblical teaching about angels is that we are never alone. God is with you. His spirit, if you've said yes to him, his spirit lives inside of you, and his angels are moving around you. In Jesus' life, after he was tempted in the wilderness, it says in Matthew 4, then the devil went away and the angels came and cared for him. When Jesus was in the garden, as he was praying, "Not my will, but your will be done," and as he's sweating drops of blood, it says an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. And so angels are there and present at key points in your life. And as you read the Christmas story, you'll find the angels were there when people were going through a crisis. And when people were at a crossroad, the angels appeared. And I believe that's true of you. Many of you have stories to tell where something happened that you can't explain. You were down. You had given up. There was no hope. And then something happened and you can't explain it. Somebody showed up. And there's no explanation other than that God sent an angel to protect you. There's one story that I've shared before, and I want to share it before Tammy sings a song. And that I was a youth pastor in Massachusetts before I came to West Virginia, and I had the kids out in a deserted, isolated state park. They had beautiful bike trails, and so we're out there. I don't know. We're a couple of miles in, and one of the kids was coming down a hill that had humps in it, and he was enjoying kind of going up and down and up and down. And I guess maybe he pulled up on the bike so that the front, the fork came out of the wheel. The wheel went on, and that fork hit the ground. He held on to the handlebars, and there was this pivot action that threw his face. He did a face plant into this asphalt, going really fast, and then he slid and on his face, and he had braces. And so the action of all this slid, as he slid on the pavement, his face was a mess, and he was bleeding profusely, and it was beyond. And this is before cell phones, this is before any way to get a hold of anybody. And I'm sitting there watching this child. As far as I know, he's going to bleed to death, and I don't have a first aid kit with me. And I just said, "God," I just prayed. I mean, "God, you're going to have to do something." And I kid you not, within 15 seconds, this little compact car rolled up, and two large men, I mean, I couldn't even believe they were in it. These men stood up, and they were like, you know, like they appeared like giants next to this Cooper. It was a Mini Cooper. And the one guy has a bag, and he didn't even address me. He goes right over to John, and he begins to tend to him. And I'm like, who are you? And the one guy looks up. He says, "We're paramedics. We're out of Boston. We were going through the state park. This guy looks like he's hurt pretty bad. We can help him." And I'm like, "Yes, thank you. They even had some way of contacting the hospital at that time. I know they had some sort of a thing that they called into the hospital. They got an ambulance to come out. Within a short period of time, they had done the preliminary medical assessment and patched him up, and then an ambulance showed up. And I'm watching all this and keeping the other kids calm, and I'm getting back to go over to thank these two men, and they're gone. I mean, you know, I mean, I was there. I would have seen the car drive off. I mean, I looked over and I looked at the kids and like, where were, and we all just kind of looked at each other. So people, I don't understand why I believe God sent two angels into my crisis, but I look back now and there's no other explanation than that he did. But there are difficult, horrible things that happen every day where angels don't show up. And next week we're going to talk about a really bad situation that happened, and we need to understand that sometimes God does show up by his angels, and sometimes God lets evil play out. We don't always understand, but I can tell you this: God is present with you, and his angels are watching you and caring for you in ways that you cannot fully understand. As we get ready to come to the table, I'm going to have Tammy Reynolds to sing a song called "Winter Snow." It just describes the fact that God doesn't come in ways we expect. He comes soft and slow like the winter snow. The words are in this insert if you'd like to read along. Let this song kind of prepare your heart for the table.
Could have come like a mighty storm, with all the strength of a hurricane. You could have come like a forest fire, with the power of heaven in your flame. But you came like a winter snow, quiet and soft and slow, falling from the sky in the night to the earth below. You could have swept like a tidal wave, or an ocean to ravish our hearts. You could have come through like a roaring flood to wash away the things we've scarred. Oh, you came like a winter.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.